Father, it is such an incredible privilege being your children. And that's our prayer, our proclamation, our desire is just to see the reality of who you are manifest on this earth. And we want to thank you. We want to thank you as we spend a little bit of time this morning in, again, just experiencing the depth of your love. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you will activate, you will just take us into such a knowing and experiencing and understanding more of this powerful love of yours in us. We want to thank you for what can I say, just reviving that in a way that we haven't had before, because we know that it's going to be this love of yours that's going to compel us, that's going to motivate, that's going to really be the driving force within us, your powerful love, our Holy Spirit. What a privilege that we can spend time this morning knowing that, Father, we have been declared not guilty because of the incredible gift of your Son's perfection. We want to thank you that we can stand with you, Father, and having your love poured into us by the Holy Spirit. We want to thank you that, Holy Spirit, your life within us, how you keep us, how you empower us, how you share with us the very deep thoughts of our Heavenly Father, that we can have the mind of Christ. We want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for the way you energize us, the way you lead us and guide us into all truth. But also this morning, we want to celebrate, Holy Spirit, how you appropriate the incredible light, the light of Jesus Christ, into the darkness in our hearts. Anything that's contradicting the light of truth, we want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for the powerful healing ability of yours in bringing in what Christ has done. We've been singing, we've been set free, we've been singing the fact, but now we want to live in the reality of that. We know that we have been saved, but we also know that we are being saved. So we want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for your ministry. Lord Jesus, as you minister healing, as you minister revelation, as you minister to us, because you're the one that's building your ecclesia, you're the one that's looking after us, you're the one that has dispatched us into this world to be light into this world. You have done it. And Father, you say that you're the one, Father, that will keep us strong to the very end. You are the one that empowers us and enables us to be able to really come and be faultless, blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you that our lives have been enriched because of the grace through your Son Jesus. We want to thank you our lives have been enriched because of you in our lives. We want to thank you that our very understanding and our knowledge and our wisdom and our insights, we want to thank you for our speech, everything about our lives, how through your Son Jesus, truth and grace has come and we have been enriched because you come and made a dwelling within us. Emmanuel, God with us. No longer God outside there, but God within us. And we want to thank you because of that fact. We have been enriched in the totality of our lives. So Lord Jesus, this morning again, here we are with you, with our Father and with you, Holy Spirit, and with the angels that have been assigned for the ministry of today. We come and just say, have your way, Lord Jesus. Come and minister. We receive and we yield to your ministry in our lives. And we thank you because it's going to be good, always good, because you love us so much. And this we thank you, Father, because of, again, the incredible gift that you have given to mankind, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This morning, what I believe God wants to do is to really help us to experience and to this love of Christ within us, to really become more real to us, so that we are rooted, we are established in this incredible love that God has for each and every one of us. So I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will baptize in the Father's love. And that will change everything in our lives, because we start to learn and we start to have a new perspective of life because of knowing what it is to be loved. And so we're busy with that here. Now, to understand something this morning, I want to take us back to in Ezekiel chapter 20, where God is busy speaking through the prophet about his judgment over the different nations and his judgment over the house of God, the Israelites, because of their disobedience. And God says to them in an amazing way, and I'm going to read it. It's in Ezekiel 20 verse 37. I'm reading from the New Living Translation because it just, again, it helps us to understand it a bit easier. God says to the house, to the family, to the Israelites, to his chosen nation, because the Israelites were meant to reveal the nature of God. The Ten Commandments it's a revelation of God's holiness. It's a revelation of God's incredible moral standard. And so God has made a covenant with Israel. So God made a covenant with Moses, and he gave them the Ten Commandments, and then he gave them how to live a life according to these Ten Commandments. And there's all the different laws on how to treat people, etc., etc. And so God gives them, because he says, out of all the nations I've called you, I've chosen you to be my incredible, precious nation. And I'm giving this to you so that the nations who are serving all the other gods, they look at your life and they can see that I'm a holy God because of the way you are obeying my Ten Commandments and my laws. And so that was the covenant that God had established, in order for the nations to be able to see that the God of Israel is a holy God. They're separated from all the evil that is taking place for the other nations that are busy worshipping their gods and the practices and the belief system that was linked to the gods that they were worshipping. And that was very pretty evil. A lot of darkness taking place over there. But now he has a witness, Israel. Ten Commandments. This is how I'm going to relate with you. Remember, covenant is relationship. It's all the terms and conditions and how God will relate with man and how man will relate with God. So God says, yes, the Ten Commandments, and this is how I'm going to be relating with you, and this is how you're going to be relating with me. So here, if you obey me, I'm going to be blessing you. If you disobey me, you're going to be facing my discipline, like, pretty severe, and that because the nations must know that I'm a holy God. And so we have that reality. So now God had given the Israelites the Ten Commandments, and now they are busy now rebelling against God. They are busy sacrificing their children to the different gods of all that they have taken on, etc. And so a lot of bloodshed, a lot of violence, a lot of sexual immorality, you name it, is taking place. And so they are, God even says, your practices are even worse than the pagans in serving their God. But God's a holy God. And then God says to them this powerful word. He says to them, and I will examine you carefully and hold you to the terms of the covenant. Wow. Because God had made an agreement with them. God had made a covenant, and God is committed to that covenant. This is how I'm going to relate with you, and this is how you're going to relate with me. Now, in terms of this covenant that I made through Moses, giving you the law, now I'm going to now hold you accountable. This is how I'm going to judge you, based on the covenant that I've made with you. And so we see the result is that they get in exile, and they are now taken into captivity. And that's the reality of that. And it carries on, because in Deuteronomy 28, obviously, is the terms and conditions of the covenant that God made there with the people through Moses. But we carry on, and then we see that the prophetic voice in the Old Testament was prophesying about a coming Messiah, was prophesying that the Messiah would come and what he would do. But in this prophecy concerning the coming Messiah, God will be establishing a new, better covenant. And he says that then I will put my spirit in you and move you to obey. So right from the beginning, as God started to speak prophetically to the to Israel concerning the new covenant, we see how already there's a Messiah, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is prophesied concerning the new covenant. So we know that our Lord Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, but we also know that the Holy Spirit is a promise concerning the new covenant. And so now we have where we see there in John chapter 1, where again we read that, let me just repeat that there, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, and no one has ever seen God, but God the one and only who was at the Father's side has made him known. We're going to come back to this. So here we see now the new covenant in Jesus Christ. But the powerful thing now, we need to ask the question, how will God examine mankind based on the new covenant now? And that is what Jesus is sharing of here in John chapter 3. The Nicodemus comes to him. There's a Pharisee named Nicodemus comes to him in one evening, and he speaks to Jesus and says, Jesus, you know that you are from God because you are you're a good man, etc., and the miracles that you were busy doing. And then Jesus says there, and notice what he says, in reply, Jesus declared. That's quite a statement. Jesus making declaration here. Okay? And he says over there, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it was everyone born of the Spirit. So already Jesus is starting to introduce the ministry of the Holy Spirit in context of the new covenant that Jesus is all about. So already he's starting to share that in order to be able to see and enter into this kingdom of God, and not the kingdom of Israel, but now to enter into the kingdom of God, this incredible spiritual realm of God, to enter into this kingdom, into that. When you were operating in the kingdom of Israel, you had your covenant, you had your Ten Commandments, etc. But in order for you to enter into this incredible kingdom of God, you need to be born by the Holy Spirit. So straight away we're starting to see Jesus speaking, as I said, concerning now the Holy Spirit's ministry in the context of the new covenant that Jesus was now bringing in to reality. And so he carries on, and we see over here, I tell you the truth, or how can this be, Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, Jesus said, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? Because Jesus is speaking about heavenly things now. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who has come from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And then we get to this, probably the most quoted scripture in the world. For God so loved the world. This is how God loved the world. Another way of saying this. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And this is the verdict. This is the outcome of my judgment over mankind. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Anyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done in God. The correct translation is not through God, but has been done in God. So here we see something pretty awesome over here, because we notice now when God said, I'm going to examine you in what you are doing in terms of the covenant that I've made with you on Mount Sinai. And now we see how God is in the new covenant. It's relational. This is how God will be dealing with mankind from now onwards through his Son Jesus. It's a new covenant. This is how God will be dealing with mankind. And he says, this is how I'm going to examine mankind. This is how I'm going to bring about judgment upon mankind. And he says over here, first of all, that I love this world. The action of my love, that I've sent my Son Jesus Christ not to judge the world, but to save the world through my Son Jesus Christ. For that's my heart. I want all mankind to be saved. And so this is what I've done, this new covenant. I've sent my Son so that it's through him, the world, everybody, human being, can be saved and come into my glorious kingdom and be my incredible family and live loved by my Father. And so we notice over here, this is what he has done, and that's why this is so important for us. Because he carries on and he says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So God's way of examining mankind based on this new covenant is whether we believe in Jesus or whether we do not believe in Jesus. That's how God will judge us all. So we who believe in Jesus, we are not going to be judged, because we have received the reality of what Christ has done for us. He came to save us from our sins. So we who believe in Jesus, we have eternal life. Remember what eternal life is? It's a life that never ends, but it's God's quality of life that we have entered into. We have been enriched in the totality of our lives because we've entered into God quality life forever and ever. Amen. So that's the reality of all of us who believe. We may not be experiencing that much at the moment, but that's why the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, he is the one to guide us into this incredible quality of life that we have through Jesus Christ. So those who do not believe, those who reject Jesus, those who do not believe, that's how God will now judge. The terms of the new covenant is that those who believe, eternal life; those who do not believe, condemnation. And that's what we know is what we will call hell, the jail for wickedness. Okay, there has to be this jail, unfortunately, to keep the wicked people separate from those in Christ Jesus. So that's what hell's all about. So yeah, we have this amazing truth over here, how God's going to be judging the terms and conditions. And that is why you and I, as the children of God, we have the incredible privilege of communicating the good news, the gospel, to mankind, so that they can have the opportunity to believe. So this is why this is so important. Jesus says that, now he's speaking new covenant, that Jesus says that when I go, I'm going to ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, and when the Spirit of God comes, he will convict the world of their sin, of unbelief. Can you see the importance for you and I to begin to realize, but Lord, we're in this new covenant. Now, your heart, Father, is for all to be saved. You didn't come to bring judgment to the world, you come to save the world. But people have chosen to not believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. So obviously now they are already standing condemned. But in your mercy and your grace, Holy Spirit will convict the world of the unbelief. And so we come in the name of Jesus. And we ask in the name of Jesus for Holy Spirit to move and to convict the world who's battling to believe. Because it's your will to believe. That's the prayer that's answered. That's the prayer in the name of Jesus where he says, ask whatever you ask, and I'm going to do it so that my Father is glorified in me. The Father will be glorified when people believe and come into his family. So we have the privilege, as I've said, to be able to communicate, to teach, to share the incredible, powerful gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit will do the convicting. The Holy Spirit will give the revelation. The Holy Spirit will stir in the lives of people. It is a Father who is calling people by name into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, so that they can have fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Tied up Nana as we take the next step. So then we carry on as we read in these scriptures, and Jesus says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And this is why, now we'll get there later on. Verse 19, this is the verdict. Amazing, amazing. This is the verdict based on whether you believe in Jesus or not. Light has come. This is how he's judging. This is how he's holding humanity accountable. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Whatever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done in God or through God, by God. In chapter 1, coming back to this now, in chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, this is Jesus Christ, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. You can also say in some translations that the darkness has not overcome it. So we notice over here that Jesus is the light. And we notice that, first of all, his life is the light. So we notice with our Lord Jesus, when we speak about light, we're also speaking about revelation. We're speaking about truth. So Jesus is the light. So he is the absolute truth of what his Father is all about. He is the absolute truth of everything that he has created. He is the truth of this all. And his life, his very life, is light because his very life, all that he does, who he is now the revelation of his Father. So, he comes into the world, the image of God, and he's now speaking, he's sharing. So, all by the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God, all who believe in Jesus, because they see the life in Jesus, they see that he's the life in Jesus, and they receive him, and they now entered into the kingdom of light. They entered into the kingdom of God. So they are now living in light. But those who love darkness. Those who love evil, they will not want to come into the light. They want to crucify the light. So they hide away. And so here we have an invitation this morning for you and I, because here Jesus makes it very clearly, but whoever lives by the truth, and I believe that's all of us over here, we live by the truth. We live because Christ is the truth. We're in Him. So we live by the truth as the Holy Spirit shares with us. We walk in the truth. We obey the truth. Our desire is to live in the truth. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be plainly, that may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done in God. We looked the other day when we saw in Hebrews chapter 4 where the word of God is alive, it's active, it's powerful, it penetrates. Nothing is hidden. Everything is exposed in the very eyes of our Heavenly Father. And so we know, as children of light, living in the light, we know that as we follow the truth and we live in the light, the Holy Spirit's going to share with us things in our life that is not light, it's darkness. See, darkness is that which is not the truth found in Jesus Christ. So my thought can be darkness because it's not in truth with Jesus Christ. My attitude could be in darkness because it's not in truth in Jesus, not in the light. So I need, my attitude is in the darkness, I need to come into the light so that light can deal with that darkness. I'm not ashamed. I can run to the throne room of God. And so when we looked at it, Hebrews chapter 4, and we saw the incredible love of our Father and said, the Holy Spirit's going to share with you stuff that's going to make you uncomfortable, but because that's darkness. Nothing is hidden from the Heavenly Father. And so that's why through Jesus you can approach the throne of grace with confidence, with boldness. You can come to the throne and say, Father, thank you for showing me. He has darkness in my attitude. He has darkness in my behavior. He has darkness in my thoughts. He has darkness in whatever it may be. And I want to thank you that you're showing me. But I live in the light, and now I embrace, and I want your light just to flood into that darkness. I want truth to come in so I can renew my mind and I can walk in the truth now of what you were revealing to me. See, that's an incredible place we'll be right now, so that any form of darkness, any lie, any thought that is contradicting the very truth found in Jesus Christ, that's now the area where God wants His light to shine, truth to shine, truth to replace that darkness in our mind, in our thoughts, in our behavior. Let's go back to what I shared last Sunday. As I'm standing and I'm in this archway and I'm looking and I'm seeing this incredible light, and I take that step into that light, and that light is all consuming. You can't see anything. It's all consuming, all consuming, all consuming light. Because every area of our lives, this is the time, every area of our lives where the Holy Spirit's going to expose anything so that this light of God will be all-consuming in every aspect of our lives. When He said we are children of light, and light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, therefore live as children of light. But we've been enriched, because in Christ Jesus we can come and we can say, Father, yeah, darkness. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to guide us into all truth. In other words, the Holy Spirit's ministry is to guide us into all light. And any darkness that's in us because of mindsets, strongholds, you name it, the Holy Spirit, because God so loved the world, the Holy Spirit, New Covenant Holy Spirit, is going to be involved in showing us, and we need to step in and embrace the light. So we're in a time of entering into
the most glorious light that is beyond description. But it's all-consuming light. Nothing is hidden in our lives, guys. There's nothing hidden. Everything is seen by Heavenly Father. Yet the powerful truth is that the blood of Jesus covers everything. Most incredible joy for us to be able to come with great boldness to that Father and realize, Lord, thank you that you're showing me this stuff. And I thank you that for the blood of Jesus that has cleansed me. And I thank you for the powerful work of the blood of Jesus. But I need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit now. All the time. What he exposes in my life, I need to replace that with truth and walk in that truth. That's repentance. One of the main reasons, as we've been focusing on that, again with the prayer time this morning, some time back, as I'm looking at South Africa, as I'm looking at not South Africa, of 1947, and I'm seeing the demonic networks, because I know just how Satan hates mankind. He hates you. You've got to understand. Whatever he offers you is because he hates you. Not because he loves you. So Satan's strategy through the systems, you name it, whatever, is because he hates mankind, because man is made in the image of God. And he hates God. So he will be out there, and he's got his network of demons all over that controls and maneuvers and keeps people in captivity. But then I see the children of light. I see this incredible light, the army of light, consumed by light, that has said yes to truth, walking in truth. And when we stumble, we walk in truth, because truth says, come to the Father, come to the Father, repent, come to the Father, replace that stumbling with truth and walk in the truth. So we are walking in truth. And as we are walking in truth, and there's this darkness all around, that darkness starts to just break up. The strongholds over people's lives start to be shattered, because we are the children of light. Because his light and his life is in us. So we've got to begin to realize that God so loved the world that he sent his Son, who is light, into this world, so that light can be made known. People can know what truth is. People can know who the Father is. People can have life. But now we are children of light. God has commissioned us. God has dispatched us into this world. He sent us into this world. Also now, so that the world, what did it say over here? The last verse that we read over here. Let me read it. So that it may be seen plainly that what he has done, that what you and I are busy doing, is in God. So this is why you'll start to find now, as we begin to really just, God, any area in my life that I just thank you that you're showing me, I need light, I need truth. Because truth sets free. Hear that. Truth sets free. If I hold on to the truth, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. Darkness does not set free. Darkness keeps one in captivity. This is where humility comes in, when the Holy Spirit shares, and I cannot do it on my own. I cannot have the strength to do it on my own. But Holy Spirit, you are in me. New covenant. Your light, your life is in me. And I just yield to you. And this is the yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. That's why it's all consuming, because it's a total yieldedness to the Holy Spirit, who brings in the incredible healing of Jesus Christ into our lives. Are they? And so as we now begin to walk that there, now you'll find there, because we've been enriched in every way of our lives, and as this army of light, God will start to share the specifics of in him. The works that we are doing in Christ Jesus is light. And that these works that we are busy going to be doing now will be the works that just set the people free. So all of us will begin to understand, God, what is the purpose? What do you want to do? It's no longer I who live, but what do you want to do through my life today? It's that yieldedness. And that what the Holy Spirit shares with you and I, what's going to bring glory to the Father today, as we walk in that, as we keep in step with that, that is the powerful light that's going to set the captives free. And I've seen many chains just being broken. Those demonic networks, those demons over groups of people, those demons over schools, those demons over homes, you name it. They don't have the power because darkness does not overcome the light. Light overcomes the darkness. And that's why God is calling us. You know, years back, and this might mean something to somebody else, but years back God said, if I want to fight addiction in a town, I must not be addicted to computer games. Because then I've got no authority over addiction. Sorry, guys. Light. We're in a time where we are now taking life seriously in Jesus Christ because people, God so loved the world. And that's why the cost, that's why there was that pause in stepping into the light. Because there's a cost. And that's why the love of God is what compels us to be able to see God so loved the world that He has sent His Son Jesus, not to judge the world, but to save the world. And when I see that, when it's birthed within me, now it will step out and we will then sacrifice many, many things. Because God's love for people is far greater than me just trying to please my flesh for a moment. There's eternal consequences. Happy New Year! A year of life. A year of light. A year of us children of light being involved with the King of Light and setting the captives free. Taking them out of darkness, out of the dominion, out of the rule, out of the authority of darkness, of lies, of deception, of bondage, whatever Satan has done in people's lives, taking people out of that authority that's been over their lives and they're living under that authority, bringing them into this incredible kingdom of light in Jesus Christ. There's freedom. There's truth. So be aware that the Holy Spirit will be challenging our thoughts, our attitudes, our motives, our behavior, everything about our lives, because it's going to be all-consuming. Be aware of that. But there's a grace, and that's why humility is a big part. God, yes, thank you. I choose your ways. I totally surrender to you. That's a total surrendered life. Without His help, without the grace of God, it's impossible. But with Him, what He has done, the Holy Spirit applies the victory of Jesus in our life. So we're going to spend time. I'm going to be away for 2 weeks. I'm going to visit my mom down in Pringle Bay. Greg's going to be sharing. When we come back, we're going to be spending time to start looking at really the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. You'll be surprised how many people do not believe in the Holy Spirit. They believe the Holy Spirit is there, but they don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. In order to walk in new covenant, we have to know how to live and walk and have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's going to be one of the new covenant army of light, that's going to be one of the breakthroughs against the stronghold of the spirit of religion over 1947. Because I did a funeral, you know, remember Issa? I did, her daughter Audrey passed away. I think it was Wednesday or something. So Thursday I did the funeral at the library. And I'm just sharing just the incredible reality of Jesus and His perfection, and just sharing some gospel message. But it was, Jesus was there speaking to them. It was like that. It was very, very real. And after that, a lot of people came and they were speaking because God was speaking to them. And the one lady comes and she says, "You really believe Audrey was saved?" And I said, "Yes, because her interaction with her friends, they loved Jesus. They spoke a lot about Jesus. Audrey wasn't perfect. She was also caught up in certain things, but she loved Jesus. But she had said to this lady, she had come and said, 'Why don't you help me? Is it necessary for me to follow this law all the time?'" And so this lady is from a traditional church, says, "Yes, you have to follow the law to be saved. If you don't follow this law, you're not going to get to heaven." And Audrey said, "But no, I don't agree with that." So this poor lady comes after the service and she says, "Do you really believe that Audrey has gone to heaven?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "No, because she did not believe in the law. You have to follow the law in order to be saved." See, that's the religious stronghold that the children of light, new covenant children of light, can set people free. So I just shared with her, a little bit over there. And then it was like, "Wow, thank you. You've relieved me, you know. I really thought she'd gone to hell." She didn't understand Jesus, but the law, if you don't follow this law, you're off to hell. Imagine if the law could save. Can't. It's Jesus. The law reveals our sin. It's Jesus that saves. He came to save us from our sin, not the law. And so you and I have got the privilege in a stronghold of religion to go and share the gospel. New covenant ministry by the power of the Holy Spirit writing on their hearts, the love of Jesus onto their hearts, the blinds being removed, and light shines into them of who Jesus really is. Amen. So, very active this year in healing in our own lives, very active in letting light just replace the darkness in our own lives, but also don't try on yourself. Hold on to the Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. All the time, renew the mind to the truth in Jesus. Receive, get into agreement with His truth in order to find truth working in our lives to set us free. Okay, that's the journey for right now. And then, as we learn more in the Holy Spirit, everybody will start understanding their God-given gifting, their mandates, because your spiritual gifts are very, very powerful in setting captives free. Been captured by the enemy, whether it's believers with religion or whatever it may be, the bondages that believers have, the spiritual gifts are there to set people free so that the true image, we've been conformed into the likeness of Christ, will become real. It will grow up into the fullness of Jesus. The spiritual gifts are crucial in that part for us to be conformed into the likeness of Jesus. Okay. So you're ready for a exciting 2024. Okay, it's going to be good. Yeah. So, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for, again, just your Son that you have given to us. Thank you that He is the life. He is the light of the world. What a privilege that you have taken us out of this dominion of darkness. And as you spoke and you birthed faith into us, and we believed and we experienced grace, and we stepped into this incredible kingdom of yours, this kingdom of light, because we simply believed. Nothing else. Simply believed what you shared with us concerning Jesus Christ. We want to thank you that this is the verdict for us who believe. There's no condemnation. But also the verdict for those who have not believed. There is the condemnation. But you have commissioned us to go and share the gospel. So, Holy Spirit, thank you as you again just share and you help us. What a joy that we can go and communicate I want to ask that we will now, Lord Jesus, be reminded almost like on a daily basis to be able to just come with you, Jesus, to the Father and say, Father, together with your Son, Jesus Christ, here we are to ask what will bring glory to you today. Here we come to do your will. And to, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to now on this earth realm, to be able to see your kingdom come and your glory manifest. So thank you, Jesus, for what you have done as we partake in the communion this morning. Thank you. You've taken us out of darkness. But I want to thank you that the Holy Spirit is the one that now will start to really convict our community, our nation, of the sin of unbelief, of righteousness and of judgment. So we thank you, Father, for that. We thank you for the angels that you have commissioned to be involved with the Holy Spirit, because the angels, you said in your word, are to help those inheriting salvation. So we thank you as you come and minister to all that have been saved and are still in the process of being saved. Because we all are. And we want to thank you for that. Those who have not yet been born again, we thank you for the angel commission to bring them to the place to hear the gospel and be born again. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we can be with you in a community where you have placed us. Thank you, Jesus, that we can walk as your children of light, as your family, your brothers and sisters of light. Thank you, Jesus, for the way this as from this moment, as we walk with you, Lord, we want to thank you for so many people that is going to be set free from being captured by sin, empowered by sin, ruled by sin, but also because of sin under the dominion, under the stronghold, under the influence, under the control of Satan and his demonic angels, demons. We thank you, Jesus, for that. You so love the world. Stir within us, Holy Spirit, stir within us this incredible love of the Father for mankind. When we are weary and tired, let this love of yours be stirred within us that will empower us to be able to continue and to overcome the times when we just wanted to quit or just wanted to indulge in the flesh for a moment. We thank you. Jesus, this is a time where you are truly enabling us to mature with you and to truly become mature sons and daughters. Thank you for this grace. It's been a long time, Lord. It's been a long time. Jesus, when you spoke about 1947, I want to thank you that this is a time that what you have spoken about 1947 will now be tangible, will now manifest. So today over you, 1947, I declare over you, 1947, in the name of Jesus, that we have been enriched in the totality of our lives. We have been enriched in our speech and in our knowledge through Jesus Christ. And that's the joy of faith, seeing something into the future that is not yet manifest. And so what a joy by faith I can declare this, because you, 1947, we will manifest the reality of being enriched in the totality of our lives here in 1947. That you, 1947, will display incredible fullness of God's grace, that we here will display what it is to have enriched understanding of all things that our Lord Jesus has created. Thank you for the solutions, the understanding, the wisdom, the insights that you have given to us here, because we have been enriched. And I thank you, Jesus, because of you. Father, thank you for your promise over 1947. Thank you that in the last couple of weeks you have confirmed it time and time again, It's time for your glory to be made known in 1947. So I want to thank you, Father, that you gave that to many years ago. I want to thank you for everyone here, for the mighty army of yours, this army of light, this incredible army that has got a heart for you to walk with you, Jesus, and to see many, many people come into your kingdom and not be condemned because of unbelief. I want to thank you, Father, today as you place on feet those beautiful shoes. How beautiful are the feet of those who go and proclaim the gospel. And I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for you now placing these incredible gospel shoes onto many here and in this nation, in our community, going out to proclaim this incredible gospel, this good news. I want to thank you, Jesus, that many now, the shoes of the soil, the shoes of the flesh have been removed, and there has been a divine exchange. No longer shoes that walk in our own ways, but now shoes that walk in your ways, in sharing the gospel, in one way or the other. Thank you for what you are doing here this morning, Jesus. As we drink and we eat, we continue just yielding to you and just saying, yes, Lord, continue to minister to us. That what must be done, let it be done. Share the light in the areas of our life that you're wanting us to be able to receive by faith and to hold on to, so that we can see any form of darkness which is contrary to truth can be replaced with your incredible truth. And we want to thank you. And this I'm asking, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you for what you are doing in the name of